certainly appreciate that, Sister Laura. Appreciate the good singing service this morning. Appreciate what we've been able to feel already. Thank God once again for just the opportunity to come this way today. Our heart has been heavy for the last week. The Lord's give us a thought. We want to try our very best to bring it out the way it's pleasing unto God. And I pray that it might be a blessing to you. But I pray that it also might draw us closer to God. That's my desire, that I draw closer and closer to Him every day. I want to have a relationship with Him. I desire that in my life. I can feel a lot of times when there's distance between me and Him. And things get difficult. Things get hard. But it seems like the closer I draw to Him, it doesn't mean life is easy. It just means that I've got somebody I know that I can lean on and trust in to help me when those trials and tribulations come my way. So I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to start off this morning, this is a little bit unconventional. For those that are sitting in front of you, I want you to just shake the person's hand maybe that's in front of you this morning if you feel at liberty. Or the person beside of you, whatever it may be. I don't know, give them a hug if you feel led to this morning. I want this church, more than anything, to be unified. Because when we're unified, when things come our way, we're able to face them. When we are a body of one, we can go through those things together. I want us to be a church, a congregation of people, that we've got time enough to shake one another's hand, to hug one another. You say, well, Brother Cole, that's not necessarily love. We can love one another without doing that. You're absolutely right, we can. But I believe to have earnest love within the heart, we need to be able to show affection. I can tell Jessica all day long how much I love her, but many times I'll show her how much I love her. Through the things that I try to do for our family and the things that I try to do for her. Affection is something that's shown, something that's felt. We need to make time for one another. We're all facing and going through things that are different and independent of one another. The things that I face and the challenges that I go through in this life are different than the ones that you go through. But that doesn't change the difference and the point being that we all face different things, but we're all going through the same thing. Maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe your children are lost. Maybe I'm going through something else, but we're all leaning and trusting upon the same person, and that's Jesus Christ. So this morning, let love abound in your heart. I guess my question would be this morning, what did you come expecting? What did you come expecting this morning? Pray for us that the Lord might give us help for just a little while. I'll try not to be too awful lengthy. My thought this morning is, what did you come expecting? And how's your prayer life? How often are we getting down to where God can use us? How often are we getting down to a place to where that love abides within our heart for our family, and not only for our natural family, but for our godly family? Listen, when I'm telling you that when I get to come into this place and I get to lay aside all the things of the world and I can come in here and be around people that's like me, that's got the same interest as me, that love the Lord like me, that want to praise Him, and I don't have to worry about the things of the world anymore. We got to talking about this morning in Proverbs about how the world just wants to get down on you and talk about you. I don't have to worry about that here. That's the way it ought to be. What did we come expecting this morning? I want to look at a man by the name of Nehemiah. And I want to turn here in the first chapter. There's been a lot that has come to pass up into this point. We know that the children of Israel, that they had been overtaken, that the city there had been destroyed, and that they had gone there and been in bondage or in captivity for some 70 years. And for reference sake, you can go back and read in Ezra about how Cyrus had a decree from God, if you will, that that they was to go back there to Jerusalem and to begin reconstruction. And they did. It wasn't without challenges, though. They began to lay the foundation of the temple, and they began their work and their labor. And yet, that still didn't go exactly as planned, because we know that the Scripture teaches us there that, if you will, that there were some there around those lands that that tried to discourage them. And they were discouraged. And it hindered the process, and it hindered the work that was going on for some years. Nonetheless, we know that the temple was built. Some 100 years goes by, and the walls are still torn down. Hadn't been rebuilt yet. And that's where it brings us here to the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 1 it says, "And the word of Nehemiah the son of Hekaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislew in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, came, and he, certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Lord of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thy commandments, thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter ye abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now there are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy a strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servants this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." And I want to stop there for just a moment. Nehemiah, I believe in all of our heart, being the humble man that he was. He didn't start right out in the beginning of this chapter. And if you will, this whole book is basically an autobiography of his life, if you would, a diary, if you would, that he kept record of the things that conspired. And he didn't start off saying, well, look at me. I was the cupbearer. I was in the palace there at the time. He just made mention there that he was in Susan of the palace. He talked about how his brother, his physical brother, and the men of Judah, he said, and he asked concerning, them, the Jews that had escaped, which were left in captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now he talked about, and he said unto me, the remnant that are left and the captivity there in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. And he said, the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. I want you to know this morning that we as God's people, if we don't ask questions, if we don't begin to wonder within ourselves about the state of the church and about the state of the world and about the things that are going on around us, is there ever going to be any change? Now listen to me. Nehemiah could have very well had said within himself, I've got a pretty good life going here. I've got a good thing going for me. You better believe that he had all the amenities that he could wonder. He was there in the king's palace. He had everything that he could desire. He had a great job about him, a very respectable job. He was the king's cupbearer. He had a job, he had a position that would have been very respectable. But yet, even in that, there was a great, if you will, a burden that set upon his heart. Even though he was there in Susan, he was 800 miles away from Jerusalem, his heart was still at Jerusalem. He said, I'm wondering within myself as his brother come along. He said, how is it over there? How is the people doing? He said, what is taking place over in that place? And he said, his brother, he said, all the remnant that are left, he said, the captivity there. He said, they are in great affliction. And he said, reproach. He said, and the wall of Jerusalem. This morning, I want you to understand, as I told you, I wanted you to look around and I wanted you to see those that were sitting around you, and I wanted you to think about those that were beside you, and that we are to have a love and a unity with one another. Listen, years had gone by, 100 years if you will, and the wall was still torn down. The gates were still burned with fire. Listen, they had tried at one time to rebuild the wall, but honey, that work was hindered, and then they got slack, and then they got concerned with everything else that was going on, and they said, well, we'll just leave that be. Somebody else can take care of that. Nehemiah, he wasn't even there. He wasn't even there. But he asked his brother. He said, how is it? This morning, I want you to ask within yourself, what is it that I can do? What is it, God, that I can do? I'm not talking about leaving the responsibility up to somebody else, but I'm asking you this morning, when you come into God's house, what is it, God, that I can do? What is it that I can do for you? What is it, God, that I can do? Listen, this morning, I want you to know that when I look around, I just be honest with you this morning, our churches are in a great affliction. The things of the world, I'm telling you, it's very easy as God's people for us to put idols in our way. I'm just telling you, I'm just as much as anybody else. There's a song over there that says, when I lay my Isaac down, and it's talking about Abraham and how he took Isaac up into the mountain where he might be sacrificed. And my friend, I believe in all of my heart, just as much as that was a picture of Jesus, that was to get Abraham's attention and to see where he laid and trusted in God. God needed to see, Abraham, who's it going to be? Is it going to be your promised son Isaac? Are you going to be ready to lay him down? What is it? Am I first and foremost in your life? Listen, I'll just be honest with you. I've had Isaacs in my life. When I think about my children and I think about my boys, you can ask Jessica, the only thing that I've ever wanted to be in life, I had no high aspirations. I don't have a college education. Not that any of those are bad. I'm not saying that this morning. But all I ever wanted to be was a daddy. I wanted to have children. I wanted to be a daddy and a good husband. That's all I ever wanted in life. And God has blessed me. And honey, just as soon as that baby boy was born and I held him in my arms for the first time, there was a sense of pride and a sense of joy. But I'm telling you this morning, if you ain't careful, your children will become your idol. They'll get in your way. I believe in all of my heart, if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to be willing to let everything else go. Everything. You say you mean God intends for you to forsake your family and forsake this and that. I'm telling you, God wants to be first in your life. And then He says, when I'm first in your life, I will take care of your children. I will take care of your job. I will take care of everything else as long as I'm first. Put me first. Nehemiah said, Lord, what is it that I can do? Nehemiah was in great affliction. He said, when it come to pass and I heard these words, he said, I sat down and I wept. Boy, I think within myself how many times that I've just went on, I've heard about this one, or maybe this one is that. Listen, when God's people ask you for prayers, honey, they've got confidence that you're going to pray for them. When I ask you to pray for me, honey, I ask you to get down and pray for me. You want to know what's amazing this morning? I'm going to tell you what's one most wonderful things about preaching. Believe it or not, it's not the easiest job I've ever had. But I'll tell you this, when I'm up here and I'm struggling along, and I say, church, would you help me? Would you pray for me? You want to know what? You can feel the prayers of God's people. Y'all ever been like that in your life, that you can feel the prayers of God's people holding you up? We sing that song, they're holding up the ladder that I'm climbing on. Boy, the prayers of God's people get a hold of the Lord, and they'll hold that ladder. Nehemiah didn't just go over there and just get down and say, well, Lord, would you help them? Send somebody their way, Lord, would you do this? I'm telling you, Nehemiah was in great affliction about it. I believe that he was in such great affliction that his knees got weak. He had to sit down, the Bible says, and he wept about it. There was a great concern that was upon his heart. He was troubled about the condition there of Jerusalem and the city. He was concerned about them. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, we've got to get concerned. We need leaders that'll stand up and say, no more. We need men that'll stand up and say, I'll make a stand. No more. We need lay members that'll recognize who it is we're serving. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you what I want. A unified church. A unified body. Listen. I'm telling you this morning. Let me ask you this. You think about them doors. We've got trustees here. We've got men that are set aside that do a wonderful job. They're watching the parking lot. They're watching this and that to make sure that we're safe inside this sanctuary. They're watchmen. They're watching. They're keeping an eye out. They're looking to be a help. Folks, our lay members need to be just like that. When we come in here and we find our seats in this sanctuary, it becomes time to say, all right, devil, no more. No more. You take your seat in your seat there and you say, I'm going to sit right here. And devil, you're not getting past my seat today. You're not getting past me. You take a stand in your position and you say, I'm not letting you get past this seat today. And you say, well, preacher, I can't do that. All things are possible through Christ. You ask the Spirit of God to come in and dwell in this place. I'm going to tell you this morning, I ask you, how big a God do we serve? Folks, we serve a big God. A big God. Listen to me. It says he sat down and he wept. He wept. I believe his knees got weak from underneath him. He began to pour out his heart. He said, I beseech thee, Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He said, let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. He said, I pray before thee day and night. Folks, I'm just telling you this morning, I believe in all of my heart, it's time as God's people that we examine our prayer life. I'll be the first one to stand right here before you. There has been a time in my life many years ago that my prayer life was not what it should be. And my prayer life could be even better than it is now. I just to be honest with you, I stand before you today, and as Brother Casey, I wouldn't give you 15 cents for it. I just be honest with you. I know who I am. I know I'm no count. You say, well, that's awful to say. The only thing good about me is what God's done for me. He's helped me. He's shaped me. He's molded me into something that he can use. He said, I prayed day and night. When he began this prayer, he began it sometime around mid-October, November time. He called out to God. He said he prayed day and night. Folks, I'm telling you, if we won't change, Brother Fry made mention about the condition that our children and things that they're going through. Listen, if we won't change, you know where that starts at? On our knees. Before you can stand, you've got to learn to crawl. And honey, I'm still crawling. I'm still crawling. I'm still learning how to pray. I'm telling you, the condition of our churches and the condition that our lost people's in, it troubles me. There is a desire in my heart. Lord, what is it that I can do? What can I do, God? What can I change? I'm just a nobody. But yet he says, go and preach. Go tell them about my son. You go tell the world about him. And honey, that's all that I can do. Maybe you're not a preacher this morning. That don't mean your job's any more significant than me. But honey, the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. You want to ask me, well, preacher, what is it that I can do? Let me ask you this morning. I don't ever want you to do something if God ain't in it. Did you hear me? We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. But when God gets in a matter, you let her fly. When God gets in it. Let me ask you this morning. When you entered in them doors right there, did you start down with the prayer in your heart? What is it, God, that I can do for you today? What is it that I can do for you? Not what is it, God, that you can do for me. How many times are we that? Boy, I want Brother Casey to come in and just bless me this morning. Honey, that ain't what God wants. God wants you to come in here and say, what is it that I can do for you this morning, Lord? The Lord saved my soul. And the years and the miles ain't as much as Brother Don's, but boy, me and my wife and my children have got in that old vehicle and run up and down the roads trying to go tell people about Jesus. And it don't matter until I preach it till the last day that I'm alive. If I'm 100 years old and God allows me to still be preaching His Word, honey, I hope I'm in a shape that I can. You know something? That's still not enough. That's still not enough. I won't ever preach enough. I won't ever pray enough. I won't ever give Him enough to repay Him for what He's done for me right here. Never. Never. I'll never do enough. It'll never be sufficient, anything I can do. When we come in through those doors right there, it's, Lord, what can I do for You this morning? What can I do for You? Lord, I just want to stand and I just want to tell the world, thank You for saving my soul, an old wretched sinner like me. Thank You, God, for being alive today. Thank You, God, for coming up out of the grave. Woo! Thank You, God. We serve a great God this morning. Is it sufficient? Is it enough to thank Him when you're coming through the doors to sit there and say, Lord, what is it that I can do? He said, I want you to make mention of what He says here. He said, for the children of Israel, Thy servants, and confess the sins of children of Israel, which have sinned against Thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. He didn't say, look at them over there in Jerusalem. They ain't no count. They've had 100 years to get this wall built. But He said, Lord, I know what I am. Take me and use me. Listen to me this morning. I know what I am. I know what I am. My wife used to say, boy, he's a good man. I try to be a good man. I try to be a good daddy. I try to be a good preacher. But honey, every time I ask God, Lord, help me to be better. Lord, I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better daddy. I want to be a better husband to my wife. Lord, help me to be better. Because God ain't done with me yet. He's working on me. He's shaping me and He's molding me. And you know what? There's coming a day. Finally, He's going to perfect me. Woo! He's going to perfect me one day after a while. I'll be just like He wants me to be. Finally, I won't have no sin about me no more. I'll finally be perfect. Ooh, y'all think I'm crazy this morning. He said, Lord, what is it that I can do? He didn't leave it up to nobody else. He said, what about me, God? How easy it would have been for Him to say, take somebody over there at Jerusalem. Let them build the wall. I've got other things to do. Take me and use me, God, is what He said. Send me. I'll go, is what He said. He said, all this time had passed. He talked about down here in the second chapter. He talked about, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, approximately around March through April there, about 4 months of time would have gone on that he had been praying this prayer. How many of you has been praying the same prayer for a long time? Don't give up on Him. Don't lose grasp of Him. Look who you're talking to. Don't give up on Him. Keep praying. Keep seeking Him out. Lord, save my lost and my family. Lord, would you hear my prayer? 4 months went by. Guess what? Nehemiah didn't make a move. He just kept right on praying day and night. day and night, Lord, would you hear my prayer? Lord, would you answer my prayer, God? 4 months' time, day and night, you know. You say, well, preacher, I try to pray before I go to bed. Let me ask you something. Is that enough? You feel like that's enough? The Bible says pray without ceasing. You feel like that's enough prayer life for you? You feel like you're coming in here this morning. You feel like you put on the whole armor of God. Are you ready? You feel like where you need to be this morning? I'm asking you to examine yourself. Boy, I tell you what, I've had to do a whole lot of examining this week. Last Sunday I left here, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I felt like I've made the awfulest mess I've ever made in my life. And y'all say, well, preacher, don't get down. Listen, that's just the life of a preacher. I'm just telling you, I don't ever feel like I've done a good job. Boy, I left here just the awfulest mess. Jessica said, what is wrong with you? She said, I know something ain't right. I said, honey, I've let him down again. I failed him again. This week, I had to make my way back out to the stump. Lord, would you help me one more time? Give me one more chance, God, to come back one more time. Help me one more time, God. There's been times down through my life I've treated him so awful. And then in my times of great despair and in my times of need, he's always been there for me. Oh, he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Oh, he's always been there. Every time I've ever got down, Lord. Lord, would you help me one more time? Listen to me this morning. Has God give you a job to do? I'll just be honest with you, and I'm not going to hark on this very long. The church is trying to look at deacons. Have you been praying about that matter? Church, let me ask you this. Have you been praying about that matter? Let me ask, the Lord will send deacons when the Lord sees fit to find deacons. Now listen to me this morning. Just because you don't want to do something doesn't make it sufficient that that's a correct answer for you not to do it. Let me tell you something. I didn't want to be a preacher. That wasn't something right out of high school I decided, boy, I want to be a preacher. I was as far from being a preacher as you ever could consider. But God said, go preach. And that's what I've been trying to do. 4 month time had gone by. King by the name of Artaxerxes was there in Persia. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I've had a big time with this. And it says in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. His countenance was changed. There was something different about him. There was a load that he was packing. My friend, when you're packing a load, your countenance is different about you. I'm not saying that you can't be happy. I believe there was times of happiness in Nehemiah's span of time there in that 4 months. I don't know for sure. The Scripture doesn't tell us, but I'll say this. He was sad. And it said, now I had not in before time sad in his presence. He said, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, let thine king live forever. Why should not thy countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? He said, so I pray to God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant had found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen was sitting by him, for how long shall thou journey thy journey be, and went without return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given unto me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convene me over till I come to Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams in the gates of the place where appertained to the house for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter in. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God unto me. When God says it's time to move, it's time to move. Nehemiah had been praying this prayer for a span of time. He could have very well had went on his own accord and said, King, this is the request that I'm being made here. But he didn't. He waited upon God. This morning I want you to know, you pray your prayer and you leave it at the feet of Jesus and you have confidence in God that He's fixing to move. Folks, I'm not talking about we practiced Easter Sunday last week, and there's rulers and there's things of different false gods of this world that people's laid in tombs, and you know something? They're still laying in those tombs today. Our God is risen. He's alive. And He's making intercession for us. And you go to Him and you lay it at His feet, having confidence in Him, that He can move the mountain that's in your life. This morning, when you gather into this place, it's not about how can that preacher bless me? How can God bless me? How is it that I can leave here with a full heart? How is it that I can leave here saying that my cup runneth over? You want to know how to do that? It starts on our knees before we get here. And we come through those doors saying, God, what is it I can do for you today? You stand and bring honor and glory to Him, and I promise you, He will bless your life. You say, well, preacher, I'm just shy and backwards. Me too. You've never met a more shy and backwards person. But I'm telling you, if you allow God to, He'll use you. You give honor and glory to God in your life, and He'll bless you. I want to say this. And I'm going to hush. Brother Strode, if you'll be getting us a song, I'll say this morning. The Lord taught me how to pray. He did. And He's still teaching me how to pray today. I've not got it all worked out yet. I don't get my prayer through every time I go to Him. But boy, I'm telling you this. Our walls, a wall of prayer is what we need around this place. And our prayers, God will take them and He'll use them and He'll bring honor and glory. And listen to me this morning. Has that wall been hit and bombarded down through the years? You better believe it. The devil, he'll take them old fiery darts and he'll shoot them at it. He's trying every way that he can in the world to destroy it. But boy, it's our job as God's people to take that brick and place it back on the wall. Keep building on it. Keep building on it. Allow God to use you this morning. God, take me and use me. That's all we can do. I'm done. Brother Strode.
372. 1 and 3. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of